Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to everything you need to know about music. For tonight, I, Jason, am sitting with my friend Kevin. Say what's up, Kev.
Hello, listeners.
Hello, Jason.
And Michael. Say what's up, Mikey.
Hello, Jason.
And Mikey tonight is going to do someone for us that I know who you're doing.
Yes, you do.
And this is a band that you attached yourself to greatly during a time where, for some reason, I didn't.
Yes. And well, after they formed.
Yeah.
I went back and went through their catalog very deeply.
Yeah. So I have a lot of questions as to why you might think, because you and I have been friends since seventh grade.
Yes, we have.
And have been on, I would say, a correlation mark of 90-something percent in music. And yet, for some reason, I didn't attach myself to this band. I don't know how you did and I missed it, or what happened in your life that you attached to them. And now that I'm getting to know the band more through vapors of the things that I know that they're involved with and things that have happened in the media and stuff, everybody loves this band. But me.
It's a huge band.
It's a huge band.
Yes.
And then when I learned more about the history of some of the things, which I'm sure you're going to get into, it's a band I really should have known, huh?
I think you should have listened to them more.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, Jason, I have to say, it's possible that I know even less
really?
About this band than you. Yeah.
That does make me feel...
I only know the lead guy. That's it.
Okay.
I don't know anything else. And I know, like, three songs. Now, I might know more as he plays them, but...
Right. Well, I hope I teach you guys something today.
That's what this whole thing is about.
Absolutely.
And that's why we did this. And it's really cool to have you doing it, because we grew up together and listened to music together and kind of found music together. And there were so many times where you would show me something and be like, oh, I got this or I got that. And then I would learn about it. And then vice versa, I would show you something. And we shared so much music together. So it's kind of fun to do it in this platform for you to share something that is such a big deal to me. I'm sorry, such a big deal to you. And then kind of show it to me this way.
And it is quite different from the classic R&B.
Yes.
And the hip hop and the stuff that you guys, you know, listen to a lot.
The Dr. Dre and Bone. Things we listened to together in college.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you want to do this?
Let me set the foundation.
Okay, please.
Because you mentioned when we met.
Right.
And right around that time, just over 30 years ago.
Right.
There was something in the music world that changed. There were still music videos on MTV.
Right.
We didn't have cell phones. Different time.
Right.
But this song came out that I'm going to play right now.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Wait a minute. What?
You don't know this? You
know. No, of course I know the song. What year?
1991.
Okay, you're right. Got it. For sure. Awesome. And this song, of course, is?
This is Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
Okay, and you're starting here. I kind of am guessing why. Does Kevin know why?
Oh, yeah.
You do know.
In fact, one of my questions for him was going to be, were you a Nirvana fan, knowing, you know, the...
Wait, we need to say, because we haven't even said it yet, who are we doing tonight? We need to say and tell everybody, who are we doing?
So tonight we are doing the Foo Fighters.
Right, okay. So you're starting with Nirvana. Why?
I'm starting with Nirvana because that is when most of the world learned who Dave Grohl was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who founded the Foo Fighters.
Correct.
So that Got song it. You just
that's,
heard,
that's
jamming on the drums, was Dave Grohl.
That's 50 to 70% of everything I know about the Foo Fighters.
Okay. Well, you're going to learn more.
Okay. This is great. All right. Go ahead.
So that song changed rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you that.
It's number five on the Rolling Stone top 500 songs of all
time. Is it number five?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Okay.
It's given credit for basically killing hair metal. Hair metal was done because of this song.
Yeah.
And it brought grunge to the forefront.
No more Poison. No more Cinderella.
Right. Yeah.
Tough days.
No, because I was a Guns N' Roses guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But
all gone.
I never, at the time, I did not get into Nirvana.
No, we didn't.
Later on in life, I did.
I did not either.
Yeah. You know, when you and I, the closest we got to, if I remember correctly, getting into Nirvana was when they came out with Nirvana, the MTV Unplugged.
Right.
I remember driving with you to the mall to buy that album or to buy that CD.
Yep.
That is as close as we got to it. We never were fans, but that album was really well done. That performance was really well done.
It was great.
And so Grohl was the drummer on that.
He was the drummer on Nevermind, which had Smells Like Teen Spirit,
yes.
Which is what made Nirvana blow up overnight.
Got it. And forgive me, Nirvana was three guys, right? It was three members.
It was so Kurt Cobain, obviously.
Right.
Chris Novoselic on the bass. Mm-hmm. Dave Grohl on the drums, who he was actually the fifth drummer of Nirvana.
I was going to ask, was he there from the beginning or no? So he didn't start until Nevermind.
He did not start until Nevermind, correct.
Didn't know that.
He happened to be there when their big hit came out. They became an overnight sensation, and the rest is history.
And from what I understand, he's a really good drummer.
He's an excellent drummer.
Right?
Yeah. Basically rated top 25 on most lists you'll see, top 50 at the very least.
That's awesome.
He's an excellent drummer.
And am I allowed to ask a dumb question?
Sure.
He doesn't play drums, though, for Foo Fighters, does he?
He does not play drums for Foo Fighters.
Okay. All right. That's what I thought.
He sings in guitars.
Which makes it really tough for the drummer of Foo Fighters to be playing for one of the best drummers
right,
of all time.
That's a good point.
And I'll get into that.
Okay.
So Kevin and I look at Nirvana each other. Had major success. They toured the world. Three years, they were at the top of the rock scene.
Mm-hmm.
All over the world. Of course, tragically ended in 1994 when Kurt took his own life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Took a major toll on Dave.
So 91 to 94 was it?
Nirvana was around in the late 80s. Okay. They didn't make it big, really huge until 91.
Okay, till that song. Got it. All right.
And Kurt actually, I'm sure someone else will do a Nirvana podcast, and he didn't like the fame. He didn't like playing Teen Spirit over and over again.
Right.
He had his own demons.
Got it. Okay.
And so in 94, after Cobain's death, Dave moved back to Virginia.
Okay.
Which is where he grew up.
Okay.
And while he was touring with Nirvana, he had been writing songs. He would bring his guitar, even though he's a drummer, write songs. He never shared them with Kurt because he considered Kurt a genius and wasn't sure they lived up to his standards.
Oh, wow.
Just always writing. He's a student of music, loves music.
How old of a guy was he when he was in Nirvana?
He was 21, 22 when he joined.
Okay, so he's young.
So he's still right around 50 then, now?
He's 53.
Wow. So did he write anything for Nirvana, or did Kurt write
all of it? He co-wrote some of it. And he actually, I think he has lead credit on one song, which the Foo Fighters still play.
Oh,
Because he has the rights.
Yeah, got it. Oh, wow.
So he went back, wrote some additional songs in Virginia. He took a few months, first of all, just to get his mind straight. Tom Petty actually asked him to tour with him on a couple gigs and offered him a full-time job.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As the drummer for Tom Petty.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's cool.
And Dave made the decision, you know what? I'm going to try something on my own. So what he did was he booked time at a studio in Seattle.
Okay.
And recorded all these songs he's been writing.
No kidding.
He recorded 15 songs in 5 days.
What? That's unbelievable.
To do it that fast.
Yeah. Three songs a day? Unheard of.
So is it kind of like a George Harrison thing? And I'm looking at Jason.
Maybe.
Remember Harrison had all those songs from the Beatles and then All Things Must Pass.
And All Things Must Pass came.
Right.
And he basically dumped all of those leftover songs that the Beatles didn't want or didn't think were good enough. And they were amazing.
But in this case, you're saying that Dave just, he didn't really auction them to Kurt because he thought Kurt was so far ahead. Okay.
Yep. But, he felt comfortable enough to say, I'm going to put it on here. I'm going to make a record, or at least a demo, and see how it's received. So he did that in 5 days, put it on a cassette, labeled it Foo Fighters, because he didn't have anything better to come up with. He was into the UFO.
What does that mean? You guys explain that to me. What does that mean?
There was some military UFO force that apparently were called Foo Fighters.
Oh, no kidding.
Back in World War II. I believe it was World War II, but sometime in history, that was.
What?
And he didn't want it to say Dave Grohl. He just wanted to give it to people and say,
here's this band,
Foo Fighters. And what's interesting about this demo, and I'm about to play the first song from the first demo.
Okay.
So, Kevin, it's a leadoff. It's their first single, written by Dave Grohl.
Okay.
Dave Grohl on drums, Dave Grohl on bass. Dave Grohl on guitar.
Oh, come on.
And Dave Grohl on lead vocals. He did the entire thing himself.
Okay.
So to do another Beatles parallel, it's like Paul McCartney playing.
Yeah, all the spots.
Which he did on his first album.
And the Beatles and Paul McCartney especially are a big influence.
Big influence on Dave. Okay, cool.
So here is the first single from the Foo Fighters self-titled first album.
And it's called just Foo Fighters? Or was it still a demo? Like, did they make it into an album?
They made it into an album, and the demo is the album.
Oh, no kidding. So the tracks that he went in and actually recorded are the tracks that they used. He didn't redo them.
Correct. So no, it's really
kidding.
It's a Foo Fighters album, but it's just Dave.
Oh.
No kidding. Yep. All right, I'm excited for this. All right, go ahead.
Here we go.
Wait. Sorry. Am I going to know this?
It was a single. It was released. You may.
Okay.
What year?
1994, I believe. 94. Maybe actually finally came out in 94.
Okay. Hit me. I'm ready.
Here we go.
Visiting is pretty. Visiting is good. Seems that all they ever wanted was a brother. This could be a secret.
That kicks in.
We can keep it.
I don't know it. Don't think I
don't either.
Thought you might.
It's rocking. He did every part. Wow.
Wow. So, not my favorite song on the album, but I do like it. There are better songs.
What's the name of that song?
This is a call.
A call.
This is a call.
Wow. This is a call. Question for you. Did Dave, was he self-taught? Was he classically trained?
He was self-taught.
All self-taught.
All those instruments.
He says he can't even read music.
I love that.
But he plays all these instruments.
I love that.
He writes music. His dad was a flautist.
Oh, yeah.
Flute player.
That's right. Very, very good, but never did it professionally. Could Dave says he could have, but he went into politics. And
no kidding.
So there's talent in the family.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So were the 15 tracks that he made in those 5 days, that's what made that first album. Was that the lead hit? Or was that the lead single, I should say?
It was the lead single, first song, yes.
And now that you love this band so much and you look backwards, how is that album? Like, how has it held up?
I would put it in the top seven.
So they how many albums do they have?
Yeah. Ten.
Ten albums?
They have really some side projects, too, and a live album. But they have 10 studio albums.
I had no idea they've been around
since 94. So
yeah. I didn't know they were that like
prolific.
Yeah.
And the name of the album, is it just Foo Fighters?
It's just Foo Fighters.
Eponymous.
Oh, okay, cool. Eponymous. I love that.
So the demo was well received, and Dave wanted to go on tour.
Okay.
So obviously he can't play every instrument by himself in a concert, so he had to build a band behind him. I'm going to play you a song from a band where... that had just broken up.
Okay.
And Dave got two of the guys from this band.
Okay.
Are they from Seattle?
They're called, I believe they were LA.
Okay.
But they're called Sunny Day Real Estate.
All right. Sunny Day Real Estate.
That's some similar flavor there.
So. Yeah.
Got heavy drums.
Yeah.
So, on drums is William Goldsmith.
Okay.
And on bass is Nate Mendel.
Okay.
So now he rounded out those guys. And although there were only three members to Nirvana, they did have a touring guitarist with them called Pat Smear.
Oh.
He was also a member of The Germs, which was an iconic punk band,
oh, yeah,
if you're into punk. I hadn't heard of them.
Terrible, by the way.
Yeah, really?
For a guy that doesn't like punk like me.
pretty extreme punk.
It's hardcore punk.
Wait, sorry. Can we just pause you there before you go into how you build the band? The question I think has to be asked, why didn't he want to play drums, though? Why did he decide to come front and be a guitarist / singer? Like, isn't that a big...
That's a great question. It's his band. He wanted to be a front man.
Oh, he did?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
He wanted to challenge himself.
Because most drummers are really quiet, reserved. I want to be back here. Put a sheet over me. I don't want to see anything.
So the world, myself included, the little I knew about Nirvana, I never saw Dave speak. I assumed he was shy.
Yeah. Or the other guy. Right.
Or the bass player.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I assumed he was a shy guy, but as we've seen, he's not.
Right.
He's an excellent front man.
Yeah.
And I think he wanted to take on that challenge.
Oh, that's cool.
And
all right.
Bring the drummer with him.
Got so like Phil Collins. He's like one of the rare guys.
Right. That can come out from the drums.
From the drums. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, cool.
So now Dave completed his band. They went on a small tour. They drove a red van around the country, small venues, playing this album,
okay,
Foo Fighters album, and it was very well received. However, as you heard, it had some notes of Nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Sure.
And yeah. some of the diehard Nirvana fans really resented Dave for that.
Gotcha.
Really?
To which he said, they said, why would you go out and start a band that sounds just like Nirvana? To which he said, what, big drums and big guitars?
Because
that's what I do.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
As do a lot of rock and roll guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not that close where it's like, but okay, all right.
So now they've made a name for themselves, and they're ready to make their second album.
Okay.
So they got a proper recording studio, full band, and went to make their second album called The Color and the Shape.
Okay.
So this album contains the first Foo Fighters song that I know of, that I remember hearing.
That you heard somewhere on the radio.
Like radio or somewhere, and you're like, well, who's that?
I will tell you where I heard it.
What year was this, by the way?
This was 95.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 96.
96, okay. All right.
So they recorded the album. It was finished. Dave went back and listened to it and didn't like it.
No kidding.
The whole album?
He didn't like
most of the album he did not like.
Ugh.
So he called up Nate and Pat and said, hey, let's go to LA and re-record some of the songs. And Nate said, well, what about William? He goes, no, don't tell William. We're just going to go there. So they went back to record a couple songs, and Dave played the drums.
Oh, no kidding.
Of course he wouldn't like the drums. Right?
By the end of it, they re-recorded the whole album with Dave on drums.
Oh. No way.
Dave on drums and on guitar.
Right.
So,
unbeknownst to the drummer.
When he found out from Nate, because they were buddies, he was not too happy about it.
Well, sure.
Dave said, look, I still want to have you on tour. I'm sorry. You know, I'm just.
Yeah.
It wasn't right for me. I had to do it. And to which William said, I quit.
He's out.
Oh.
Now they don't have a drummer.
Wow.
So Dave had to go looking for a drummer. And he called up a friend named Taylor Hawkins, who was playing with a bigger act than Foo Fighters at the time. Do you guys know who he was playing for?
No.
No clue.
No.
I don't know who he was until he just died.
Yeah.
It's a female.
Oh.
A female led band?
It's a female led band.
Rockin' band?
Probably the biggest female act in 1996.
The Breeders?
No. Just think of a single artist with a backup band. Who was the biggest female artist in the rock space in 1996?
In the rock space. Well, I was going to say Shania Twain.
Kind of like grunge rock, right?
Oh, Courtney Love.
Nope.
No. What was her band? Hole?
Hole. That's right.
What?
She had some female anthems.
Wait.
Alanis Morissette.
That's correct.
Yeah, nicely done. Nicely done.
So Dave asked Taylor, do you know any drummers that we could get for the Foo Fighters? And Taylor said, how about me?
I'd like
to join the Foo Fighters.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he wanted to leave Alanis Morissette to go with the Foo Fighters.
He left Alanis Morissette.
That's a great story.
To join a brand new band. That is a good story.
That's a great story.
Can we back up 1 second, though?
Yes.
All right. So Dave wanted to re-record the whole album with him and drums. Yes. So is he a perfectionist then by nature? Or
he seems to be a perfectionist.
Okay. Yes. You would think, right?
Yes.
Holy smokes.
When it comes to the, you know, he's a very funny guy, laid back. But when it comes to the music, he's extremely serious.
Got it.
Yeah.
So now they have their new drummer,
right?
And they go on tour for Color and the Shape. They start getting bigger and bigger, right?
And he likes clearly what this drummer can do.
And
he's
happy with Taylor Hawkins. Taylor does a great job. So during this tour, the song that I said is the first song I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nate Mendel was quoted as saying, when I heard this song for the first time is when I knew the Foo Fighters were going to last.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I didn't know it was the Foo Fighters at the time.
If it came out in 96, when did you hear it, do you think?
I think 99.
Okay. All right.
And so the reason I heard it is because it was from the movie Varsity Blues.
No kidding. Oh. All right, let me see if I'm going to recognize this.
I've never seen that movie.
That was a big movie when we were a kid.
You guys are still in college, right?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Great song. Yep, you did.
I'm not sure I know this.
Yes, you do. You're going to know it in 10 seconds. As soon as you hear the voice. You know what's funny? I didn't know this song was that old.
this song.
I actually, okay, all right.
Wow.
I got one over Kev, yes! Wait, can we just go, I know he's going to know the song, because, watch, when he gets to the chorus, can you just go to the, just, okay, just play the one, watch, just watch. Great tune. Do you still love it as much as you did back then?
Awesome.
It's so good, right?
One of the best.
So I make fun of you sometimes because I know how much you like the Foos and how little I know about them. However, that song is on a lot of my running mixes because it's such a good tune. And the way it builds, it's so good.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah, okay. you only get one, though. That's the only one. No, that's not true. I think, no, I have two. There's two. I know two.
With this album brought a big tour, an international tour. And Dave, being Dave, was old school, night after night, place after place, travel all the time.
Yeah.
Tour, just concert after concert.
Right.
Pat Smear, being the oldest of the group and had toured with Nirvana quite a bit.
Right.
Decided he didn't want to be part of the Foo Fighters anymore. Travel was too much for him.
So he's hitting it hard.
He's hitting it hard.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 10 months on the road.
Every night.
Every night.
Yeah, got it.
So now Pat's gone, so they need to fill another spot.
Pat was the bassist?
Pat was the touring guitarist.
Okay.
So Dave called his old friend Franz Stahl, who was the founder and lead singer of Scream, which is actually the first band Dave played for as drummer when he was 17.
Oh, no way.
And so now Franz Stahl joined them to...
got it.
To... start their third record.
Got it. Awesome. Okay.
Wait, are you going to the third record?
I'm about to.
So wait, let me ask though, on that record you just played, I think the only song I know, Everlong, is Everlong on that one that you just played or no?
It's on the album I just played, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That was the other song I knew too.
Okay, same with me.
So we're on the, going forward, we're in the dark together.
Excellent.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent.
So here's another wrinkle. Right before they go to start to record the third album, the band decided that Franz wasn't gelling with the group.
Oh, jeez.
So Dave had to fire his old good buddy.
Oh, no.
And tell him it wasn't working out. All the members agreed. Just creative differences, whatever they call
it. Oh, crap.
Chemistry. The chemistry wasn't there.
Yep.
So now, my God. So now they went back to Virginia. Dave bought a house, and they recorded the third album as a trio.
No kidding.
So they didn't like bring in Eric Clapton.
Or Eddie Van Halen.
So.
Yeah, exactly. No kidding.
No. And Dave this time wanted to take his time.
So sorry. So you get rid of the, let's say, rhythm guitarist or whatever other guitarist. So now Dave's got to do both of those. You got your bass player and your drummer.
Correct.
So he's got, it's a trio.
Or he's more back to his Nirvana days, right?
In a way. Yeah. That's a good point.
I don't know that for sure. It might just be the Nirvana kind of structure.
That's tough. That's really tough.
It is tough.
Are they? They're relatively big at this time. I mean, that album was pretty big.
That second album.
It was a big album. Yeah. They aren't what they are today, but they were definitely known. They were on it. They were on MTV, TRL.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Okay.
So this time they took their time. 6 months at Dave's house. He was grilling barbecue, drinking beers, and he had a fantastic time
making this album. That's cool.
So I'm not gonna play a song from the album.
Would I know any songs from the album?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, you would.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I think you would.
Do you have a favorite album? And will you tell me when we get there, or have we gotten there already?
It's really tough. just like you two with Kevin, they have three or four that are neck and neck.
And are you the type of person like your brother that will listen to the whole album, and like? The ups and downs and where it travels. Like, do they care like that, or are they just hits and or single songs?
No, I don't know if they care about a story, so to say.
Okay.
But there's definitely a theme to their albums.
Okay.
Yes, where, they'll do a bunch of hardcore rock songs followed by some acoustic songs.
What category are they in? Are they just hard rock?
So they're... post-grunge.
Okay.
Post-grunge.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes
sense. And they eventually evolved into hard rock.
Okay. What's the song on the third album you think I would know? Just for fun.
Should I just play it for
you? Yeah. I want to hear it.
All right.
Oh, You're shaking your head, but give it time.
So. Yeah, yeah.
It took me to the chorus in the last one to know it.
That's true. That's true. I usually know songs immediately or not, though. But no. Mm-mm. Wow. You know what's funny? No, but I really like it. It sounds exactly like the era that it comes from. Right? You know what I mean? Like those songs that came, what is this, mid-90s, late-90s?
It's late-90s.
Right? Late 90s. It sounds exactly like all those kinds of songs and that are just...
It's different than the screaming.
Oh, it's not as hard. No, right, exactly. Right. It's not as hard at all.
It reminds me a little of Built to Spill. Do you guys know Built to Spill? Okay.
No, I do not.
Very, very, very similar sort of...
it's nice
sound, and it's same period, kind of late 90s.
That's pretty good. All right, so no, I'm sorry, I don't know that. So that's the third album.
That's the third album. So again, back on tour for the third album.
Okay.
International, they're flying private.
So they're
at this
huge.
They're big.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay.
So again, a lot of work, but a lot of success.
Hey, well, going back to Dave Grohl and the fact that he was, you know, traveling around in a van in the beginning, did he not make a lot of money off Nirvana because he didn't write any of the songs, or did that not make him independently wealthy?
Good point.
That is a good question. I'm sure he did.
Right.
I think he's a simplistic kind of guy.
Okay.
And wanted that new band to on the road kind
okay.
of feeling.
Okay. Wanted the authentic, like, you know, yeah. Like we're building something here.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he was by no means the wealth he has today, but
right.
he could eat.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So now that they're a trio, they wanted to fill up the spot again.
God, it seems like this happens all the time.
And this is
this guy.
First time they had real auditions.
Oh.
So, because they had no leads, no friends. They open audition, like 50 guitarists came in.
Okay.
And the moment they heard Chris Shiflett, Dave knew. They had actually run into each other years before in the LA punk scene.
Huh.
Dave remembered seeing him. And they really hit it off.
I don't know that name. Should I know that name?
He was in a couple things before Foo Fighters, but you wouldn't know him.
Okay, gotcha.
But all right. He's still with the Foo Fighters.
Okay. So he made it. He made it the distance. That's great. Has the band changed since then?
Yes.
Oh, wow. This poor guy.
We're going to hear more twists and turns.
No, my gosh.
Only additions since then, I should say.
Oh. Okay, interesting. Okay. All right. Got
so
it.
Now
sorry.
We got the four. We
okay,
got
right.
Nate.
Yep.
We got Dave. We
guitar,
got
guitar, bass, drums.
And Chris.
Okay. Right. Got it.
However.
Sorry. Does anyone else sing but Dave?
Taylor does sing on some songs.
Does
all,
he?
They all do a little,
like
little
the harmony
backup.
And backup.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Yes. All right.
So now, 2001, they start working on the fourth album.
Okay.
They... Big production this time, $1 million.
Wow.
Right?
Good big budget.
Dave still wasn't happy with it.
Oh, my God.
So Dave took some time and went and played drums for Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
That's a great band.
Yep. And which made Taylor extremely mad and made Dave resentful for Taylor for not going to see him.
No kidding.
Yeah. So
why was Taylor mad? Because Dave just up and left for a little while?
Okay. Exactly.
No way.
And so now this was the first really big fight with the entire band, and they almost didn't make it. So the story is Dave was playing drums for Queens of the Stone Age and then playing for the Foo Fighters the next night at Coachella in 2001.
Oh, okay.
Back to back.
Back to back. And he and Taylor just had it out, and Dave said, let's just do this one last show and see what happens.
Wow.
And Taylor came to see him play for Queens of the Stone Age. And the next night, Dave said Foo Fighters had one of their best concerts of all time.
They're children. He's as little as a baby. You didn't come see me.
So again...
I love it.
Again, they go back to Dave's house and they re-record that fourth album.
They re-record it again.
Re-record
it.
Wait, not with Dave on drums again. Right?
No.
Because I think they're going to tick Taylor off.
Holy smokes.
Without the big production, without all the money.
Oh.
And Dave was much more pleased. The whole band was much more pleased with the second cut.
Holy smokes.
And it was a massive success.
Wait. So they had all this production money behind them, recorded a whole album, decided they didn't like it, and they went like kind of back to roots. And,
could you imagine spending that million and be like, no, we're gonna do it at the house?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
How about
that's
the
crazy.
Record company?
That's what I'm saying. Imagine money, their right? point of view. Like, yeah. Just, that's nuts. But it came good though.
It came together, and the song we're going to play from this album is a song that Dave said is one of the most special songs for him. One of the he's most proud of.
Oh, no kidding.
And it reflects on appreciating, although there was all this infighting, appreciating the things he had.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Will I know this song?
I hope so.
Okay.
I think you should.
What's the name of the album?
One by One.
Okay.
I know this one.
Yeah, I do too. Good.
Days like this, times like this,
times like this. These.
Yeah,
times
like these. Okay.
So, I think it was John Kerry that used this song.
Oh, really?
And his
during yeah. his
okay. and the Foo Fighters supported him. They're, you know, Dave's mom's a teacher. They're a liberal,
pretty
group.
Liberal political. Yeah, gotcha. This is yeah okay.
It's a good song.
Wait, let me till he gets to it. Good band, aren't they? They're just classic, good yeah. rock band.
Okay. Interesting, too, how they've evolved from that grunge, that raw stuff right. you heard in the demo
right.
tape.
Yes.
To
yes.
a little more polished.
You're absolutely by right. You're absolutely album. Right.
But not overly produced, right? I would say, you know, I mean, maybe that's why they went back.
I agree with you.
Right?
I don't think it sounds too like manufactured.
Yes.
Dave does not like manufactured, and I'll get to that.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, it sounds authentic, if that's the word, like a rock and roll band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna ask you, and you can answer the question now, or you can answer it later if you're gonna get to it. But I ask Kevin this a lot, but I think it fits for the Foo Fighters as well. What's the difference between the studio albums and then seeing them live, like?
So they are fantastic live. I can't
right.
I can't tell you the best concerts I've ever been to. I've been to three.
I was going to say, how many shows have you been to?
I've been to three. Okay. I went to one that got canceled the night of.
Kidding?
Was, yeah, up in Nashville.
Oh, no way.
Was that a COVID thing? Or was that
before? Was a family emergency. They didn't say what it was.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But I ended up going to Nudies, a bar in Nashville.
Yeah.
And there was a band that, you know, they have fantastic bands
sure.
in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
And they said, since all you guys didn't get to see the Foo Fighters, we're playing Foo Fighters all night long.
No way.
And it was fantastic. I'm drinking
that was
three
cool.
for one Miller Lights.
Nice.
And listening to this cover band, happy
like,
as can be.
This
it was
that
almost
bad.
As good.
Now, have you ever seen them in Tampa, or has it always been?
I saw the last show I saw was in Tampa.
Okay. Yep. Okay. But otherwise, you've seen them in other
I saw them
locales.
In Wrigley Field first. And
right. Oh, wow. Cool.
In New
venue.
Orleans at the Fillmore.
Oh, I asked because they sound like a band that would have explosive, especially Dave, of the pictures and clips that I've seen of him, explosive energy on stage. It's got to be like electrifying.
He's amazing.
He's amazing,
he
right?
has great charisma. I will say, probably not the same voice as a Chris Cornell or maybe even a Bono.
He's not,
right.
he's not but, for that, though. He,
right.
right he, that's not
right.
his thing.
He makes up for it with his front man
right
stage yeah.
he's got that swagger like a
yeah
like
totally.
A Mick Jagger
he gets the crowd engaged okay. like no one I've ever
that's
seen
cool.
yeah,
that's
maybe
cool.
a Freddie Mercury kind of
got it
crowd engagement
right
so now I mentioned they have 10 albums so
yeah.
I can't go through every one of them
as much right. as you'd like to
as much as I'd like to so I will skip the fifth album as well
okay good I got it
which was actually called In Your Honor, and it was one of those that was half heavy, half acoustic.
Oh, no
I
kidding.
I really like the album, but just for time's
that's
sake.
That's odd for them to go acoustic,
huh? I'll tell you guys, you should go listen to it. It is a really good album.
Okay.
I would put it in those top five.
Okay.
But I got more top fives I have to get to.
Fair enough.
And the next one is, this is 2007. Which is about the time that I really started getting into the Foo Fighters.
Is it? Yeah.
So this is the first release that I went through the entire album. And first of all,
was this the first experience? Do you mean to say that you were such a big fan of the band and then now here comes a new release and you're like excited to like
yeah.
look at it so in one whole piece?
I essentially stumbled upon them, you know, just from Pandora.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, right.
Other
yeah,
songs.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And
right,
then
right.
I just dug deeper and deeper. and going on long runs, started downloading more and more and realizing how much I like this band.
Oh, that's cool.
Right? It's a good band to run to.
It, for sure. The energy is incredible. But it's interesting because, you know, whenever somebody, and I talked about this with someone on another podcast, whenever you discover a band that already exists, you have the opportunity to look at their whole catalog at one time.
Right.
Right. And that's a very different experience than waiting for things to come out and kind of watch them evolve, or, you know, for the time that it comes out. That's a very different experience waiting for something than it is to be able to look back on 20 years.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's totally different. Nice.
No, yeah. It is. But you get to almost do like a pick and choose. I'm going to take this from this album, that from that album. But when you work forward, you only have that one album. It's totally different.
It is.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this album is called Echoes, Silence, Patience, and Grace.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Again,
is there
huge,
a
big album
to that? Is there a significance to that title?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Okay. All right.
However, it was nominated for 5 Grammys.
No kidding.
It won Best Rock Album that year.
Oh wow.
No kidding. All right.
Was that their first Grammy that they won then?
It was not their first, but this was their most successful album as far as that goes.
Wow. So am I going to know any songs?
I think you will know this song that I'm going to play from this album. And what I would say is, if someone from 100 years ago or 100 years from now that didn't know what rock and roll was, this is a song I would play.
Big statement. All right. I'm ready for this.
Arpeggios?
No, I'll bet.
It takes a while to kick in, as you can see.
It's all right. I'm along for the ride. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that's how the song started. I'm embarrassed to say that. What's the name of this song?
I don't know this one.
Yes, you do.
Really?
To another one you do. Yeah, okay. I gotta hear the chorus. What's the name?
Here, right here.
All right.
No? I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
The Pretender.
You know what I'm embarrassed to tell you? I didn't think this was the Foo Fighters. I know, and it sounds so. Now that I. Yeah.
Wow.
I just want to play this part for you right now.
Okay.
This is the rock and roll I'm talking about.
Almost, yeah. Sounds Chuck Berry. It's Chuck Berry.
I say, yeah, it's 50s.
In the concert, they do a little break, and he goes really deep on a tangent.
Yeah. Sorry, when you say rock and roll, like, is that... Do they have elements of old rock put into this song on purpose, or is that something you're saying that you're pulling out of?
I only know it because of the concerts.
Because of the concerts,
and how
they do
get
that
into this. I don't know.
Because the arpeggios in the beginning are definitely old 50s rock, and that little break is definitely Chuck Berry, little bluesy kind of rock and roll, like rockabilly kind of stuff.
It's a 5-minute break in the concert.
No kidding.
Like, yeah, rockabilly, whatever you want to call that, and it's fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome!
And that's the first time I actually realized that in this song.
No kidding.
Right. Oh, that's...
I didn't like pick up on it.
Sorry, play me the opening 5 notes one more time. Just play the song one more time.
The very beginning?
Yeah. Is that Stairway to Heaven?
I was just going to say.
Come on.
It's almost Stairway to Heaven,
right?
Isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wonder how purposeful some of those things really are. Are they taking elements from other things or not?
So the last album I'm going to cover is their 7th album.
Okay. What year?
It came out in 2011.
Okay.
Okay.
And the story behind this one is Dave wanted to do a garage album.
Oh, okay.
So they set up Dave's garage as a studio. And, of course, it's a nice garage.
I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, it was all done in analog.
Oh, no kidding.
Analog,
all tape.
Analog to tape.
Holy smokes.
So no computers to mix, master.
Does he have his own studio or... He did a documentary about a studio, right? Is that his own studio, or is
do you know the story?
Sun City.
Go ahead.
Sound City.
Sound City. Right? Are you going to talk about it?
Yeah.
No.
I was also, are you maybe referring to the thing that he did? I feel like it might have been on HBO where he went to different recording studios across the country and made a song at each one of them and kind of brought up or brought out the feeling that each recording studio or record studio has because of the ghosts that are there and the feelings that are there. It's a beautiful story. No, if you get a chance, right, Mikey? I mean, am I telling that story right?
That's one of the albums is where he goes to 8 different studios.
Oh, they made it into an album? I didn't know that they did that.
Yep.
Oh, no kidding.
No, I have to sheepishly say that my brother-in-law bought me the DVD of Sound City, and I still, that was probably 10 years ago or whatever, I still haven't watched it yet, so.
Well, Mike bought me a DVD, concert DVD of the Foo Fighters. It's still in its wrapping in my closet.
You will hear a lot of the same things I'm talking about in that DVD.
Oh, really? Okay.
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 So, in 2011, they recorded this in Dave's garage, and it's called Wasting Light. It's got more members to the band. Pat Smear came back.
Oh, wow.
They had Rami Jaffe on the organ, and they also had a violinist as well that has been touring with them.
No kidding.
So this is a big, proper production.
Yeah.
It's considered by many to be their best album.
Really? What do you think of it?
It's in my top 3 or 4.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's really good. It took me a while because it is different than their earlier work.
Now, when you say garage, do you mean just because they recorded it in their garage, or does it have that 60s garage sort of...
Or even Seattle grunge garage?
I don't think it's grunge garage. You guys have a better ear for that than me. I think it's pretty clean, but it's just that he wanted that analog tape sound.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, got it.
You know, it was a nice production studio.
Gotcha. Okay.
It just happened to be in his garage.
Let's hear it.
So I do want to talk about the song I'm going to play from this.
Okay. Okay.
There is a story behind it. So the story is it was written about a friend of his, but there's also references to Kurt Cobain.
Oh.
And he admits that he can't play this song without thinking about Kurt Cobain.
Mm-hmm.
It's very deep. It's very passionate. And Dave's voice sounds different than he does in most of his songs.
Really?
So I'm going to play this song for you that you guys, I'm eager to hear it now. Have not heard this song.
No, okay.
Another long intro.
I should have known that it would end this way.
It's a little distortion.
Wow.
In the voice?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I should have known.
Yeah, I should have known, clearly, that right. Something was wrong. You should have done something. Wow, that's crazy.
And I'm just going to fast forward.
Okay. Yeah. Cannot forgive you yet.
I noticed that the bass is different in this song.
All right. Drum, Matthew Miller.
Listen to the passion in his voice. So, the reason the bass sounds different than the other songs, in my opinion, is because it's not Nate Mendel. It's Chris Novoselic. From Nirvana.
Oh, that's real. Oh,
recording the album, it's Butch Vig who produced
Nirvana. Oh, no kidding.
Oh, wow. It's the first time the three of them were in the same room since Nevermind.
Cool. That's wow. kind of cool. Can,
what year was 2011?
You said 2011.
Wow.
So definitely an homage to Kurt, even though Dave says not specifically Kurt.
How could it not be? Yeah, wow.
And to bring those guys in.
Just, oh, yeah. Almost 20 years almost later.
Fuels that a little, wow, little bit more.
Wow, that's strong. I should have known. That's pretty crazy.
It wasn't a single. It wasn't a big hit. They don't play it in concerts.
Oh, it's just there.
But I listened to it several times prepping for this podcast, and I like it more and more every time I listen to it.
Yeah.
That's cool. And Kevin, both of you guys, I would say if you're going to start with a Foo Fighters album, Wasting Light is a great start.
Wasting Light from 2011. Okay.
No kidding.
Cool.
I think it's the most universal, I don't want to say poppy, but just universal rock album that they've done.
Okay. Love it. Wow. Was there a big hit, radio hit, off of that album? If that's the one that's kind of the hidden track that's like the most passionate and dark and, you know, meaningful to...
Yes. Yes. Let me play you that.
Oh, yeah.
So
okay.
You know it.
This is the hit, the single?
Yeah. Oh, wait. I know that. Do I? Wait, do I? No, I thought I did.
Vocals are definitely different on this one.
Yeah, for sure.
One, right?
For sure.
No.
No, I don't think I know it. It's good, though.
That song's
good, though.
Called Walk.
Definitely Foos.
That song's called Walk.
Okay.
Walk.
Okay.
And that's the album to start with.
Wasting Light.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
I'm going to listen to it.
I'm going to play you one more just for fun.
Good.
This is the leadoff, Kevin. I think this is a fantastic leadoff song. Definitely a good leadoff run song.
Okay.
Taylor especially.
They're adding layers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there we go. Kicking in.
Ooh. Holy smokes.
Yeah, that'll get the blood pumping.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
These are my famous last words. Holy moly.
And watch it switch tempos.
Oh yeah.
Wow. That's really good. That's well done.
That was another hit off the album.
Okay.
So, the Foo Fighters, that was 2011.
Yep.
The last album I'm going to talk about here. But they've had continued success ever since. Three more studio albums.
Okay.
Those wouldn't make my top five, the last three. Just personally...
Okay.
And I think most readers' polls I've seen
agree say with similar.
Me. Okay.
Yeah. So, what does the arc look like? Huge in the beginning because of the demo album, or kind of building during the demo album? And then, what does their curve look like?
So, personally, I think 2 through 7 are pretty consistent. It's like a giant plateau.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most people, I would say, 3 through 7 are
okay.
The pinnacle.
One put him on the map. Like, oh, this is what he's going to do now.
Right.
2 or 3 through 7.
There are the hardcore that
sure.
say
no. Of always
the original.
Always.
The original
right.
is
right.
the best.
Right. Of course. Right. Of course. Sure. Of course. Of course.
So now we're talking 28 years. The Foo Fighters have been around.
I can't believe it's that long.
Years.
Would you have guessed that? What I would have said.
No.
10 to 15.
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
It does. I know. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Because when you had said 96, 99, or 99, I no way they were that old. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So, again, I've been to 3 concerts. There's, you know, they tour all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Huge success. Now they're, they play. They
right.
play in Wembley.
Right.
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 They sold
right.
it out
right.
two
right.
nights
right.
in a row.
That's nuts.
Yeah. You don't get much bigger than the Foo Fighters these days. You know, a band that was built from tragedy. Right.
It
was,
yeah. It was, in a way. Yeah.
It was a subset of a tragedy or an outcome of a tragedy. And, you know, I'm concerned that it's going to end on tragedy, too.
You think?
just recently, Taylor Hawkins passed away at the age of 50 in Columbia.
Right.
Hours before they were due to go on stage.
And when you say Columbia, they were in Columbia, like the country, right? Like
Columbia, the country.
Or Medellin.
Playing in the south. It was like some kind of festival.
Oh, wow.
Down there.
That's funny. I didn't know he was away. I thought he was
here. Yeah, I mean, they are constantly international. But, yep, they were in Columbia. Taylor, apparently had chest pains. They called 911. By the time they got there, he was deceased.
So just like a heart attack, or was it induced by
so they did find some substances in his system, but they haven't said for sure whether that was the cause or not.
Wow.
And I didn't mention it earlier, but he did overdose in 2002.
Oh, wow.
On heroin, and was in a coma for a couple weeks. And that is part of the reason they had their Dave and Taylor had their big scuffle.
Little riff or whatever. Oh, wow.
Jello. Okay. Wow.
So I hope they get back together.
What do you think? So you're saying
Dave and Taylor are they're like brothers from another mother.
Yeah, right. Right, right.
Every interview, it's Dave and Taylor. You don't see Nate and Pat much or Chris much in the interviews. They're both drummers. They get each other.
So Dave must be absolutely broken and devastated. And another loss. Yet another loss
to a close bandmate. His closest bandmate is
holy smokes.
You can tell. I'm not sure he can go on at least as Foo Fighters.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a theory. Maybe he'll go on solo.
Right. Or
I hope they keep going, but I can't see how he could pick.
What are you
gonna
do now? Audition for
Taylor.
New drummers or something? Yeah.
When you go to their concert, he is constantly going back to Taylor and playing guitar as they look at
that's
each other.
His,
they
because,
trade
because that's he knows it and right. that he. I mean, he's that's his spot in a way.
So to me, it seems impossible, but you know, I'm hopeful that there's.
It'll be interesting to see what they do out of that, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. That's sad.
So I want to end this podcast on a happier note.
Okay.
This is a song that many consider to be the Foo Fighters' best song.
Oh, wow.
It was not a hit right off the bat.
Okay.
It was a single. It came out, didn't break the top 100. And then in 1999, I'm going back here, Dave went on Howard Stern and just spontaneously Stern asked him to play something, and he played this song acoustically.
Oh, no kidding.
And Howard kept playing it over and over, as his over the weeks and months. Because he really enjoyed it, and that brought this song way up, and now, according to the Rolling Stones readers poll for the Foo Fighters, this song is the fan
it's
number
tops.
One. They said, with a band this popular, they think it's the biggest landslide they've ever seen. It won by more than 500 votes.
No kidding.
Yep.
What. You don't. I mean, obviously, you're gonna play it. You don't have to say what it is yet. But was it on an album, or was it always just a single?
Yeah, it was on an album.
Okay.
It was on one of their earlier albums. So Dave, when he wrote this song, he was recently divorced, and he was starting to fall in love with someone else.
Okay.
And he said he had been thinking about two souls and how they become one in harmony.
Okay.
So he had the lyrics, and I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever.
Yes, got it. Yeah.
So.
Didn't think I was going to get it, Kev, but I did.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
David?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool.
David Letterman.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
David Letterman considers this his favorite Foo Fighters song. And he even said it's his favorite song.
No kidding.
I agree with Dave. It is my favorite song.
This is your favorite song?
My favorite song.
Didn't know this about you.
By anyone in the world.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So
what a great song to go out to.
I will leave you with my favorite song and the best Foo Fighters song of all time.
Well, before you do, or while you do, let me say, great job.
Yeah.
Thank you for enlightening me to a band that I should know more about. And now that I'm excited to kind of get back into them.
Well, I hope
or
you do.
Learn
you
more about them. Yeah.
No, dig into their catalog.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'll definitely start with Wasting.
Every song that you played jams, rocks, and is awesome.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. All right. So let's have it. So with that, we'll say thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Go ahead, Mikey.
And
let's
here, I'll leave you with Everlong.
Oh, for sure.